On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we talk to Super Bowl champion A.J. Hawk. We talk about his buddy Aaron Rodgers, the Tim Tebow experiment, what it's like being mic'd up, and coaching his son's football team. Plus, we tackle the new vaccine rule at Allegiant Stadium, Darren Waller's return, joint practice with the Rams, and a bunch of other stuff as well. Go to www.manscaped.com using promo code WINBAGS for 20% off and free shipping worldwide. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. There it is. Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, just 26 days away until opening day for the Las Vegas Raiders. Monday Night Football, Baltimore Ravens, fans in the building, Soto.
Ready to go. 26 days, so what? Napoleon Kaufman, Nevin Lawson-ish, we're away. That's, man, it's getting there. It's getting there quick. We're like three weeks in four Sundays, basically.
Yeah. Three and a half.
That's it.
What sounds closer? Less than 4 weeks or 3.5 weeks?
3.5 weeks sounds because the number. Yeah, it sounds closer. 3.5 weeks. So we're Monday. We're the last game. Everyone's going to be watching. Dick in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to go. At least I am. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing about everyone inside that stadium that we found out this week, everyone inside of Allegiant Stadium, that Monday Night Football game, and apparently the entire season, is going to have to be vaccinated. The Raiders announced Monday that they will require all spectators to provide proof of COVID-19 vaccinations for all home games in Las Vegas. Now, this is unique in that some teams like don't require anything. Some require masks. There's reports too that some teams will require like a negative COVID test like 4 to 8 hours before. Like, there's a lot of different ways you can tackle it, right? Like you can make it masks, you can make it negative tests. The Raiders are going all out, and the Raiders went all out last season. Mark Davis basically said no one's coming to any home games last season. They could have the state of Nevada, they could have worked something out where they could have had certain fans there at limited capacity, whatever. Mark Davis said nope, nobody. And now this season, another just like axe chop, just like black and white, no gray area. You can only come to this game if you are vaccinated. No masks, no negative tests. I don't care about any of that. Pretty big step. There's so
pretty big small swing, role. Man. No. I try to think. I'm trying to look at this objectively because it really doesn't matter how you feel about the vaccination or whatever. The decision is what it is. How you feel? Oh, well, the vaccination is stupid. Well, that doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to be vaxxed if you want to go to the game. Las Vegas is the biggest tourist city in the world. You know, got a lot of people from a lot of different parts of the country, a lot of different parts of the world, probably going to these games more so than any other game.
Yeah.
So I from that perspective, it makes sense. It's fairly easy because once I heard about that Clear app, I signed up for it and see, because let me see how easy this is. No, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So you just take you take a picture. It's like that early passport check-in for when you go travel internationally.
Yeah.
Take a picture of your passport, but you take a picture of your ID front and back to make sure it's legit and it's you. You take a selfie so they can match the face up to make sure it's the right person.
Did you go bathroom selfie with like duck lips? Did you do like?
I actually was in the bathroom.
Over the back? Yeah,
I was in the bathroom. I was taking a shit.
I knew it. Yeah. Toilet in the background with a little floater in there just to like send him a message.
In the background. I was on the throne.
Okay,
and, so then you have to put, and they ask you to put, take a picture of your vaccination card. And then you have to type in like, the information, like the location where you did it, and you know all like the so I did that at CVS, so CVS and the store number and all that shit, and they verify all the information to make sure that it's a legit vaccination, and then they clear you. So then when you
literally
show
they
up,
clear you, the name
yeah. So when you show up to the event, you just have a barcode on there, and you scan it, and then, you know, you show the picture of everything's on the app, and you just show the picture of the app. It's you, and then you can go ahead and go on it.
So I was going to say, like, they're so easy to forge, those vaccination cards. Be like, yeah, if you don't want to get vaccinated, just forge it. This clear thing
vaccination card.
A little tougher, huh?
Yeah, and they're not going to ask you for the card. They're going to ask you for, and on the app, you could tell them, I'm going to the Raider game on this day. And so it'll give you a specific code for that game. And once the game's over, that code's done. And the code only lasts for, like, I think 2 weeks or something. You can go to 2 weeks ahead of time. But yeah, that's it. That's how they're doing it. And, you know,
I feel like COVID is like one of the least dangerous diseases you'll get in Las Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, instead of getting a vaccine, you probably get a tetanus shot when you leave, type of thing. You know, it's Las Vegas.
Antibiotics knock that urinal tract out.
A little special shampoo and a little comb. You know, maybe they should give you that instead of a vaccine.
Do you remember that? It's like an old 80s movie. I saw it, like, I was like, probably junior high, but it was an old movie. It was called the Last American Virgin or something like that. And it's like these high school guys, called all ages movies, high school guys trying to get laid. So they go to this freaking prostitute, and they all get crabs. So then, like, they're trying to drown them. So they're all in the fucking pool like this, you know, like, they're not drowning.
Yeah, the jacuzzi in Vegas is also ironically probably where you'll get more diseases than where you'll kill.
Yeah,
don't dunk
your head in the water. Don't dunk your head underwater in those fucking things.
Full body condoms when you're partying at the
growing on the pool. Side of your eyeball or something.
Yeah. Well, another silver lining for this is maybe tickets will get cheaper because you get all these unvaccinated.
Maybe there'll be
people.
Some tickets available,
right? Maybe they give all these unvaccinated season ticket holders who are like getting refunds or trying to sell their tickets. Maybe we can get some cheaper tickets to some goddamn Raider games.
I will say this though, I did check the Game Time app right before the game started, and there were tickets for like $40.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like the new version of scalping, where, like, instead of just like some seedy guy in a back alley by the stadium just trying to get rid of tickets,
all digital tickets.
You just stand in front of the place and just wait for tickets.
Even if the game started already. Oh, fuck, I'm not going to make the game. I better get whatever.
You miss
I can
kickoff, but yeah, you're in there 5 minutes.
Yeah, fuck
kickoff.
It. Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea.
JR, let's do it.
Hey, you might be able to afford it. So I'm probably going to go to Bears Raiders because I got a buddy in Las Vegas who's a giant Bears fan. He's got a hookup for tickets. by hookup, I mean like lower bowl for like a little under $500, like, which is kind of a hookup these days considering how those tickets are. And then I'm definitely going to Raiders Giants in New Jersey because there's a UFC that day before, November 6th. And then the Raiders are in New York, November 7th. So I'm already out there. And it's only like $100 to get into the stadium.
Who you taking with you? Who you take? DC? DC going with you?
The wife wants to go. So we'll take the old lady and then like coworkers. I don't know yet. I don't know who's going. I haven't gone around yet and done all my.
I'm very upset. You haven't introduced me to DC. You have introduced me to
that's Attic. On purpose. Yeah, that's on purpose. I'm trying to raise my profile with my UFC coworkers. My profile.
I think DC and I will get along just fine.
You think so, huh?
I think so.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Maybe I will. Maybe if you're good, I'll bring you into that.
I'm good. That's like you tell your little kid, like, you want McDonald's? Okay. If you're good,
you're good.
We'll get chicken nuggets, if not nothing.
All right, Soto, I'll let you carry Daniel Cormier's luggage if you're good. If you do a really good show today, then maybe we'll do that.
That's not going to happen.
The other good news this week, Tuesday, Marcus Mariota and, more importantly, Darren Waller returned to practice Tuesday morning. So the best player on our team, the best tight end in football. Yeah, you heard me. The best tight end in football. Back in action. This is great for a million reasons. One, obviously, like, whatever this mysterious undisclosed injury is, he's back. Not just like back in like a limited capacity. He's back and looking
full practice.
Good.
Yeah.
Full practice. So you could. So it really feels like the Raiders just like in an overabundance of caution. Oh, you're only 95% Waller. Let's rest you. Like, you're a superstar. Right. And two, the rumor that we were talking about, like, we're all kind of walking on eggshells. And like, one of the things we don't want to talk about because we don't want to give it attention is how little Darren Waller is making for how good he is. So when he when it was like a mysterious reason he wasn't playing, and it was, they weren't, were being specific about injury. We're like, is he holding out? Because Lord knows if any player in the NFL has a reason to, it's Darren Waller. For sure. It looks like that's not the case at all. So literally best case scenario of Darren Waller missing, you know, 2 weeks of the preseason practice, minor injury, overabundance of caution. He's happy with the contract. Back in action, baby.
Yeah. I actually got a sound. I downloaded an app just for Darren Waller being back at practice. You ready to hear it?
Okay. Sound engineer Juan Soto.
Yeah. I don't have like the whole soundboard like RJ has. So I got to do it for my phone, the bootleg style.
Hey, it still works, right?
It still works. I was still happy. I told you after on the post game on Saturday that I saw a video of him warming up and he looked fine. So it's a welcome addition to the practice team. I'm ready.
No, part of me is like, I understand why they don't say the injury, like in hockey, right? In hockey, they never give specific injuries, like what it is. It's either lower body injury, upper body injury. That's it. Because their philosophy is, well, if we say exactly what injury, like if let's say
go after that shit.
Yeah, right. Like if someone has a knee injury in the next game, when they finally come back, the opposing players are going to go after that knee, which I kind of sort of get. But then it creates this black market of information on what injuries are. Mm-hmm. And that's why in like the NFL and other leagues, you have to say specifically what the injury is if they're missing games. So because
you can always Bill Belichick it out too.
Like, you can lie, right? Yeah. People lie all the time. But I really wanted to know. Like, I was very nervous and I was very worried. I like that opposing defenses aren't going to know what the injury to Waller is, which I like. But, you know, what about like my pacemaker? What about my nerves? You know, no one's thinking about old RJ.
No one's thinking about the good old JR.
So it got me thinking like, okay, Waller's back, contract's happy, he's healthy, everything's hunky-dory, exactly where we want it to be. What are the expectations for, like, what are the genuine, legit, proper expectations for Darren Waller this season? Because he's not going to come out of nowhere anymore, right? Like, came out of nowhere 2 seasons ago. Last season, people knew who he was, but it was his big breakout season, right? Like the giant, like, all right, he is the man on the offense. Now he's obviously not going to come out of nowhere. People know what he's about, still getting better, but I feel like there's a lot of other offensive weapons as well. Like the way the Raiders are filming their offense or filling out their offense and their personnel, it feels like it's going to be again, another running team. Like they want to be balanced, but run first, you know, a most expensive backup running back in football. And Kenyon Drake came in a bunch of new offensive weapons and John Brown, Willie Snead. We're hoping Bryan Edwards, Henry Ruggs get better. Right. Like we still have Hunter Renfrow still there. One of the better fullbacks in football, one of the best backup tight ends in football and Foster Moreau. I feel like statistically, Waller is going to have a drop, but only because the ball is going to get spread out a lot more. And it's not just, you know, Waller's the only guy Carr really trusts.
Yeah, but before we talk about Waller, did you see Derek Carrier shake that linebacker? Like the third play of the game? He just shook the linebacker. The linebacker was wide open. I'm like, this is our third string fucking tight end. Okay,
they're the best tight end room in football. No question about it. Best
even
tight end
that,
room in football.
What was that bowler? Whatever the fourth string guy. He was catching passes. Anyway, so I don't think Waller was that big of a surprise last year. I think people knew exactly who he was, and this is you can't really always equate fantasy to regular football or real football, but in this case, it does make some sense. Waller was the second or third ranked fantasy tight end in football, in fantasy, and he was a top 12, I think it was number 12 or 13, receiver overall.
Yeah.
So he's not sneaking up on anybody. If the fantasy people know who he is, the real coaches know who he is. And with that, and with all the bracket coverage and all this stuff, he still gets open.
Yeah.
It all depends on how much Derek Carr wants to feed him the ball. Now, if like you said, if other options get open, you know, Carr will spread the ball around. If they're maybe like the first or second receiver, he will spread it around more. But
do you double team Waller if you're an opposing defense?
I think you have to. I think
that's a big step because you really only need another, like one other good receiving option to be like, okay, well now we're man to man on everybody.
Well, that's what that's what happened. It I don't know if they necessarily double teamed him, but they had they played this combo coverage a lot against Waller where they had
little bracket coverage, outside leverage, inside leverage.
Yeah. But the problem with that is when you have a player like Ruggs, who was consistently being that decoy going deep, it makes it difficult to do that because the inside bracket guy is going to be stretched out and then Waller's going to have a little bit more room underneath.
Yeah.
Or you leave guys like Nelson Agholor at the time, you know, against your third corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, that didn't work very often for the opposing teams because he got wide open a lot. So it's a good problem to have on our side, having so many weapons. I think it's going to be a good coaching job by John Gruden to make sure everyone stays kind of level-headed and in line. Like, hey, you know, we have a lot of weapons here, and you know, we're all going to get our chances, but we may not be super stat fillers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't care. Like, I don't give a shit what Waller's stats are, really. As long as it's winning and he's being used properly, right? If he's double-teamed, someone else is open. If they're always in, like, a nickel package because their passing attack is so great, then we'll just run the ball every down, right? Like, I don't care about anybody's stats at all. Honestly, it hurts me to say, like, I kind of like it if Darren Waller's stats went down a little bit so we don't have to pay him $20 million a season when his contract's up.
Hey, man, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
He's going to have to get paid soon.
Well, he got, what, 3 years left? 2 years left?
He had a three-year, about $6 million a year contract, right?
Coming into last year, right?
Yeah.
So he got 2 years left. So after this year this year?
Yeah.
We need to extend him in the middle of this year.
I bet you after this season they extend him. I bet you they'll wait till the offseason. Especially, it also depends how well the Raiders do. Like, if it's like, you know, go deep into the playoffs or something, and like we want to keep all this momentum going, keep everybody. That's when like everyone, all the players come out with their hands out, right? Like, that's when everyone show. It's kind of hard to show up with your hands out on a team that's like never making the playoffs and losing records, you know? Yeah. When everyone starts winning, you're like, hey, we got to keep the team together, right?
Keep it rolling.
Can't let this band break up. And then everyone shows up with, all right, I'll take some money, please. Money.
Excuse me, sir. Can I have some more?
All right. Well, we'll talk about Mariota's fit in the future. Joint practices this week with the Rams. That should be really fun. Of course, our What Up Winback's coming up as well. But AJ Hawk joining us today.
Ooh.
Special guest, AJ Hawk, coming up right now. All right, joining us now, reoccurring guest, the very first guest ever of the Autumn Windbags. All right, man, our numbers are going down. People aren't paying attention. We got to come back with a zinger. We got to come back hard and strong. Joining us now, half of the Pat McAfee Show, Super Bowl champion, first-round pick, All-American, national champion football, Aaron James Hawk. How you doing, AJ?
What's up, guys? Yeah, good to be back with you, especially when we're about to actually have NFL football. It's exciting. I feel like it was never going to get here. So
yeah,
it's a great time of the year, I think.
Yeah, the NFL has mastered the, like, making things that aren't that significant feel significant because it's more significant than the thing before.
All year round, too. Yeah,
it's like,
all year.
Because it's like, okay, the draft, and then it's, you know, free agency, and then OTAs, and then preseason, and it's like, none of those things are important, but preseason means more than OTAs, and OTAs mean more than like free agency. So it's like, yeah, it's not that important, but it's more important than the thing that I was excited about last month. So it keeps getting more and more important until we get to opening day coming up in 3 weeks.
Man, I haven't really thought of it like that, but it does make a lot of sense. Like, everything is a little bit, it's such a step, like a progression from, okay, Super Bowl's over, everyone's depressed, football's gone. Well, hey guys, they're going to be having the combine coming here soon. And then there's the Senior Bowl. You can watch some of your favorite college guys play. And then boom, the draft. Like, wasn't it there's stats out there that I think more people watch the NFL combine than like the NBA finals.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's every year, but it shows you like how football, for whatever reason, people just enjoy watching everything, like every aspect. You got to give the NFL credit when it comes to that and their TV deals for sure.
Yeah, it's like building a good combat sports car, like a UFC or boxing card. Like, you got Conor McGregor at the end. And so, like, man, I can't believe I'm so excited to watch Nico Montano win this prelim, but it's just like building up, right? It's like, yeah, it's like it's a Conor McGregor card, but I'm just starting here. you know, Connor Carr's don't mean as much as they used to these days now that he's gone off his rocker, but you get what I'm saying. It's a slow burn.
Oh, you stole my line. Slow burn.
Yeah. I'm not talking about your penis, Soto. I'm talking about the
that's a hard burn. That's a fast burn.
So now that it's preseason.
Only when you pee, right?
Only when you pee.
Sometimes.
Now that it's preseason, how much can we get out of watching preseason? Like for the Raiders specifically, third string quarterback starting, only two starters on offense, only two starters on defense. They played one quarter and that was it. But my take was, well, we have a brand new defensive coordinator in Gus Bradley. Maybe we can kind of get an idea of the scheme, kind of get like the feel of the team, like the mojo of the team. Am I just like scraping for like reasons to care, or is there something to that?
I think there's, yeah, like each team you kind of have to look at individually in positions. I think the most intriguing part this whole preseason that I'm actually looking forward to is watching all these young quarterbacks get a chance, like Trevor Lawrence, yeah. Zach Wilson, all these dudes that are out there. I think you can really see when they're out there and just how they command the huddle. Like Justin Fields, they've always talked about how from day one in Chicago, he just seems to have a presence about him and he's a natural born leader and all of that. I think that's what you can get from watching some of these young guys in the preseason. I mean, like vet quarterbacks don't do a whole lot. I don't think you can get anything watching them, but when you have a new coordinator, like you said, in Gus Bradley, you can definitely get a feel on what your defense may look like that year. Now, early in camp, in preseason, you're very vanilla and they only run a couple coverages and maybe a few blitzes, nothing really exotic. They don't want to show anything, but you can definitely get a feel on what it's going to look like and what that team may look like. Really, like you can kind of see the culture and is this like a team that is all buttoned up and like Patriots like, or is this like a Pete Carroll type team where they're all juiced and they're having fun and dancing on the sidelines? Like you can really kind of get an idea of what they may look like during the season.
Yeah, the defense looked really fast. They looked, especially the secondary, even though there's a lot of backups there, they looked really fast and like they were in tune. There was no like Spider-Man meme where everyone's pointing at each other with the ball in the air, right?
Yeah.
Specifically, what should a fan be looking at? Like to say position battles or younger guys, which they'd be looking at in the preseason?
I mean, I'd want to, well, first off, if you want to be entertained, like watch, especially when these early games and then even in the last preseason game, which with only three, it's going to be different. Usually it was always the fourth one where guys would just be absolutely gassed because they're taking every rep. You got guys playing every play on defense and then a lot of times almost every special team rep. And that's just, that's after a long training camp and they just will run dudes into the ground. And if you want to watch something that's entertaining, pick out a couple guys that you see are never coming off the field and just see how it progresses, how they look in the third and fourth quarter and realize like, hey man, this dude is in unbelievable shape, but he is running a triathlon out there and he's getting his head knocked off in between it. Like that's fun to watch, but yeah, position battles I think are something you can keep an eye on. But you also have to, it's like some guys play a lot harder than others in the preseason, like vets. There's a lot of vets who, even when they're in, they're not, it's football. You can't, like, this is why the Pro Bowl sucks to watch, because you can't half-ass football. There's no half-speed football. So you have to go full go or you're going to get hurt, you know, just to protect yourself. So even in the preseason, you do. And when vets are in there, like, they don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to put any bad tape out there. So they're going to be playing hard, even if they're in for one series, two series, whatever. I remember we played in Kansas City a preseason game one year. And our D coordinator told us it was the fourth preseason game, I believe. He said, hey, you guys have one series, no matter how many plays it is. First play of the series of the game, Tremont Williams gets a pick, and we carried him off like we won the Super Bowl because we knew we were out. We were done for the day. So we were one and done, thanks to Tremont, and he was a hero for that day.
Yeah, you can't throw any Tim Tebow blocks out there. You know, like there's no half ass.
Tough, man.
Is Gruden going to bring him in, you think?
I mean, we have the best tight end room in football, so I don't even know if there's – that would be a very John Gruden move, though, wouldn't it?
Team Chaplin, well, maybe. Team Chaplin. Right?
I bet Gruden is into – I'm sure I haven't heard Gruden talk about Tebow, but I could see him being really into Tebow and just loving, like, his vibe and what he does.
I love the Tebow experiment only because – because, like, for the – like, I flirted with being the, like, well, you know, if I was 6'2", 260, like, I'd be an NFL linebacker. Like, that's the only thing holding me back. I'm just 5'9", 180, right? And you're just like, all right, here's Tim Tebow, huge dude, played football his entire life. And he just looked absolutely atrocious as a tight end. It's like, yeah, he has all the physical tools. He clearly has the mind for football. And even he can't even like be on a preseason game amongst third and fourth stringers and not embarrass himself. This is like, all right, It's like when, you know, when, like when CM Punk fought in the UFC, or when, you know, like, it's just nice to have like not even a civilian in there to show you the level of football that's going on. Like a genuinely really good football player can't play football on this level.
Yeah. And a guy that has made a bunch of plays and definitely made some big plays in the NFL, although a different position. Yeah. Like, when I saw these clips come out from Tim in camp, and then the first game when he's trying to get the block in the hole, and then the very next play, and just everything happening, like, yeah. I started thinking like, well, yeah, like what did everyone expect? Think was going to happen? The guy think about, and that's not even a slight on Tim. The guy's making a position change. He's playing a position that he's never played in his life. The dude grew up, like, if you hear like stories of old Tebow from back in Florida when he was a kid, from like age 3 on, they knew this dude was, he was Jesus, like in more ways than one. He was doing everything, I feel like. And so he's always been that quarterback slash athlete. And then, oh, hey, go play tight end. Try to block some of these big old monster DNs. Try to hold up on a – he had a punt protection drill I saw that they put out, which, yeah, I had to do it a million times. But that's the thing. I've done it a million times in practice. Yeah. Tim's probably done it 10 times now after being in camp in Jacksonville. So it's definitely an uphill battle. Like, yeah, you can't just throw your head in there. You got to – takes years and years of little tricks. And that's the other thing that happens. Like, guys that have been around for a little while, you do learn little tricks on what not to do, what you can do. And you can see if a guy is like new and he's all juiced up, and you can Olay him, make him miss, like just little things like that. It's not easy at all what Tim was trying to do. And I wonder if Jacksonville ever felt like, okay, like this guy's going to make the team. I wonder if there was ever a moment when they felt like it was going to work out. But I mean, we see what happened, and almost an impossible task, I feel like, for Tim to go out there and try to make it as a tight end that doesn't play special teams too. If you're a third string tight end, you got to play all the special teams, and Tim hasn't ever done that. So it's not like a thing. You wouldn't keep a guy like that if he couldn't play all the special teams.
It's a nice little scheme to sell a bunch of unrefundable jerseys though.
Genius, like, yeah, right? They sold a ton.
Tebow in for a week.
Like $4 million worth of jerseys.
Cut him. You don't have to pay him a dime, and then bam, you're out. It's like, yeah, maybe the Raiders should pick him up. Add a couple million.
That owner, no, you know, the owner isn't he building like a $450 million complex down there in Jacksonville too for Urban. So yeah, I mean, Tim paid for a little wing of that, I guess, with his jersey sales.
There should be a nice big plaque at the entrance. Like, yeah, this pillar brought to you by Tim Tebow. It's just a GIF, like a video GIF of him trying to make that block. statue of him bouncing off.
Oh, come on, JR.
Now, the hard part about that was when he stood up and he hit his own guy with his head, like he headbutted his own line. That was the hardest part. It's like, oh, I feel for you there, man. I've been there at times.
That sucks.
Just like butt straight out, reaching, like his arms straight out, reaching, like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that was tough.
So the Raiders are doing a co-practice with the Rams today and tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. And I always thought that, like, these joint practices are more valuable than even preseason, because the starters don't play preseason, but all the starters play these joint practices. So maybe it's not 100%, like you still can't touch the quarterback, but I'd much rather have, like, I'd much rather know what Andre James or brand new center can do against Aaron Donald versus our third string center versus some third string nose tackle. Like, when you did, I don't know how often you did joint practices when you were at Green Bay, AJ, but like, I feel like as a fan slash like analyst of it, I get more out of watching joint practices than preseason.
I think you absolutely will. A lot of times it'll look more intense too than some preseason games. Like when the ones on ones, because when I was in Green Bay for 9 years, we didn't have any joint practices. McCarthy didn't do that back then. They started to do it now when LaFleur came in, but my 1 year played it for the Bengals for one season. We practiced with the Giants when they had OBJ. It was Coughlin, maybe one of his last years there. And I thought it was valuable. We came in, it was new to me, my 10th year in the league, and my first time practicing with the team. We were playing them, you know, like 3 days later in the preseason game. So they came in, we practiced twice with them. And yeah, you're absolutely right. When those coaches are evaluating guys that may be on the bubble, or, hey, is this guy still a starter or not? Like they're looking at the film of those joint practices. And also, if you're not doing joint practices, all the situations your coach sets up during camp, it's really the only time during the year where you're going to go ones on ones, the starting offense versus starting defense. And they're going to put you in every situation, 2 minute drill, backed up, goal line. You're going to do all that. And a lot of times, I mean, the rules have changed a lot, but a lot of times that's when you go full go, take everybody to the ground. Obviously, never touch a quarterback in the league. That'd be stupid in practice. But those are super intense drills where sometimes you have some of the biggest collisions of the year. Like when you're doing 11 on 11, ones on one, goal line, during training camp, and there's fans there and everything. It feels like a game. Like, guys are trying to kill everybody. They're all trying to take each other's heads off, and it's just a goal line period. So I think you can learn a lot from your team just by watching that.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of fights anymore in preseason games, but you see a lot of fights in those joint practices.
Oh yeah.
They're fun. I thought we would have a few with the Giants, but they, like, in the Bengals team I was on, where we were at, we had a fun team too. I mean, Pac-Man Jones, Vontaze Burfict, we had these guys, Ray Maluga. The guys are not messing around. They didn't let anyone push us around, but it was pretty good. We had a few little, like, dust ups, I'd call it, where guys would start to, and then the coaches knew, like, all right, this is a volatile situation. We got to shut this down now, or we could have a full blown brawl between these two teams. So it wasn't bad, but you know how coaches, though, like, they got to act like they hate it. No, we don't want everyone to fight. This is terrible. They're going to get kicked out of a game, but secretly they all love it.
They're like taking bets before, like, all right, I think Donald's going to take a swing at Leatherwood. Yeah. You brought up Mike McCarthy. He was obviously your coach in Green Bay. Your entire career, right? The whole time you're in Green Bay, he was the coach, right? You both came in the same year. Now he's in Dallas, and we're seeing him in Hard Knocks. And I was watching the last episode last night, and it's funny because he talks so different to a group than when he's one-on-one. Like, when he's talking to, like, Zeke or Dak, it's almost like he's, like, kind of, like, cowers over. It's like, hey, Zeke, what you think, you maybe want to do that? Like, is that how he is? Just, like, no wonder no one listens to him if he just talks like he's, like, a little mouse, like, just kind of afraid to, like, raise his voice to anybody.
No, like, I now that you say that, I do notice it from watching the first episode especially. I think he might be just aware of being mic'd up, and he's uncomfortable being mic'd up when they're having cameras around. I knew going in when I heard they were doing Hard Knocks, I'm like, oh, this is great for Jerry, and it's great because I want to watch Mike. But then I instantly thought, oh my gosh, he absolutely despises this. He doesn't want to wear a mic. He doesn't want cameras to be, like, GoPros set up in your staff meetings, where I feel like that stuff is sacred. What you're saying, you don't want that out, and they put a lot of that stuff out on HBO. So I think he may take some time to get used to having the cameras around, the mics around. Like, when you get players get mic'd up throughout the year during games, and players claim that, like, oh man, I got mic'd up. Now, I forgot I was mic'd up halfway through. And then if you actually watch, like, they show you the footage of them, like, oh yeah, except for you're speaking maybe 14 times more than you normally do in a game. So yeah, I'm sure you just forgot you were mic'd up in the second half.
Yeah, like, John Gruden is at home when those Hard Knock cameras were around. He was just like, dude, this is like ground zero for him. He's, like, ready to rock.
Holding court.
Tom McCarthy. Yeah.
Now, McCarthy, I can't wait to watch McCarthy as Hard Knocks goes on. I'm sure he'll get more and more comfortable with it, but I'm sure he is, man. I would love to watch his face when Jerry called him and told him that they got Hard Knocks. It probably was not great.
Yeah, Jonathan Abram was mic'd up a couple, like, maybe a week ago, and he walked up to, like, every single player and coach. Hey, I'm mic'd up today, man. Hey, I'm mic'd up. I'm mic'd up.
The guys get mad, man. If you don't tell them, like, in a game, you better pat your chest or something, especially in a game, a guy will come up to talk to you, or even, like, a front office guy. Execs would come up, and then I know I had a few different guys that were, like, front office dudes and on the sideline during a game, and they'd come up to me, and if I didn't mention it in the first, like, 10 seconds, and then they found out I was mic'd up, or I waited 10 seconds, like, are you kidding me? Like, they'd get pissed. You got to tell them right away, because, you know, who knows what you're going to say, and then who knows what they put out or the kids out there.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it makes sense.
So you were the voice of reason the entire Aaron Rodgers drama that was unfolding all offseason. You're like, the whole time, you're like, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play. He's obviously disgruntled about something, but I think he's going to play. He didn't miss a single day, a single minute of anything that was required of him. Did he tell you that? Did you just kind of have a feel for it? Or are you just kind of know football where, you know, players like to, like, make a scene sometimes, or like try to get their message across, and sometimes it feels like no one's listening, so they got to do something drastic.
Yeah. His whole situation was so weird how it came about. I didn't see that coming. And then the day, it was the morning of the draft, right? I think when Adam Schefter then later said,
what a coincidence.
Yeah. And Schefter said, like, Schefter, I guess, came out and said it was an accumulation of information that he had gathered, like, over the last 6 months or something. Like, oh, so nothing, like, happened for you to do this, say this today. So when it got out, I was obviously surprised, but I was driving. I had to drive that night to go to the Kentucky Derby with Aaron. So I'm like, I was driving there with my wife. I'm like, oh, this is perfect timing. This whole bombshell drops. Now we're going Friday morning to the Kentucky Derby, walking to there's races all day Friday that you go to. And so we're walking into that whole firestorm.
Sure.
And I never even, like, yeah, I talked to him. I talked to him all the time, but I never like sat there and had much conversation about what he was doing in Green Bay, what's going on. He never had to tell me like straight up or anything. Yeah, I'm coming back or whatever. He never said that. But I just from being around him, I'm like, yeah, there's no way this dude's leaving. Like, there's no way he's retiring. I know he claims now, or he says that he definitely thought about retirement. I'm sure he did. I don't know how serious he did, but I just can't see the dude. I just couldn't see what options there were either. Like, I couldn't see the Packers trading him. I was like, I think I even told him, like, why would they ever? Yeah, you can be as mad as you want, but if I don't care. You can hate me all you want. If I'm running that team, I'm making you play for the Packers. I'm not letting you get away. I've seen how good you are. You just won the MVP, and you still have plenty left. So I was like, why would they ever get rid of you? There's no way. Yeah. So I just couldn't see a plan where all of a sudden this happened. Like, before this year, they're like, okay, well, Aaron's playing for Denver or whoever. He got traded here. Like, I just didn't see anything like that happening when we were, especially as we got closer and closer to camp. I'm like, something's got to happen one way or the other soon, right? And then,
yeah,
bam, they figured out. And I don't know. I'm hoping that they go and they kill it this year, and Aaron finds a way to want to hang around for 5-10 more years.
What's a road trip like with Aaron Rodgers? Is he demanding to like man the radio? Is he just sleeping in the back? Has a pullover every 2 hours for him to pee? I bet he's just one of the guys that just sleeps the whole time.
He would definitely, yeah. He would sleep the whole time, no question. But no, he's like an intellectual. He's always into, like, he loves that Sudoku, like, which I don't even understand Sudoku. He'll do Sudokus for 3 hours straight for some reason. Crosswords, all those things. He's into all the little brain stuff, I think, and he thinks about how it's going to help his brain, his recall. He does have like unbelievable, crazy Rain Man type recall of plays and events and things that happen on the field. He'll remember all kinds of stuff that nobody, I think, could ever remember, even if they wrote it down. Aaron doesn't have to write it down. That's just how his brain works. But yeah, no, he's fun, man. He's going to be joining Pat and I on Tuesdays again this year. We had him every Tuesday last season. He's going to come back this year. So that should hopefully start here in a few weeks. And he's usually pretty open and honest. I think too, as he's gotten older, it's cool to see. I saw this happen with Kobe. I feel like at some point in Kobe's career, he just stopped caring and he said whatever he wanted to the media. Remember, you'd see these clips and Kobe's cussing and he's being so honest. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, how great is this that he's opening up? And I feel like Aaron's at that same stage. Like, Aaron's like, this is, hey man, like I got nothing to hide. I just want to have fun, enjoy my life and enjoy myself. And I feel like he doesn't care really what's going on around him. He never really has, but now I think he's just being available. He's being more open. He's just giving his opinion and letting people know. I mean, if you saw that press conference when he got back, just kind of annihilated the front office there. And even though everyone was congratulating everyone that we made it back, we're good to go. And then he just let everybody know, hey, everything's not perfect around here. I'm just going to let you know. And then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you've accomplished that much as a player, I mean, short of like, you know, burying a body, you can pretty much say whatever you want, do whatever you want. It's like you've already put your career on tape. You can't, no one can take that away from you. So you can, I guess you could be a little bit more free.
You should. I mean, if you're Aaron Rodgers too, and you know, like, hey, there's not really anyone else out there that can do what I can do. Now, obviously, we know how great Mahomes and Tom Brady and everybody is, but like all those guys are so special in their own way, and other people can't duplicate it. And who knows what guys will look like in the future. But man, what Aaron can do on the field and also his presence, what it brings to the locker room and to every single player on that team and every coach. Like, it makes the coaches better even, because Aaron's there and you know you're not going to be messing around. Like, guys, he's not going to let people get away with stuff. He doesn't have to be like a dictator. He doesn't have to say anything. I think you fall in line. People get there and they realize, like, oh man, like, you are, I think especially offensive guys, they're nervous. Like, they don't want to make a mistake and get called out, or even, like, it's not like he's going to yell at them. Just for the quarterback to know that, oh man, maybe I can't count on my right guard. He jumped and walked through on Wednesday this week. Like, you don't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what Rodgers is going to do during retirement, because he basically lives the life of a retired guy now. Sudoku, crossword puzzles, Jeopardy.
Shuffleboard now, maybe. Shuffleboard, I guess you add to it. Yeah.
He's going to have to, like, just pick, if he just picks up bingo, it's just like, all right, well, what are you going to possibly do when you're retired? You're living the life already.
He'll keep growing his hair out and growing his beard out, and then eventually just be super long gray hair and gray beard. It looks sweet, wouldn't it?
Right. When I see him at a park feeding ducks, that's when I know. It's like, all right, he can't go any further. Done. Support for the Autumn Windbags is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. The champions of the world, Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with its exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WINBAGS at manscaped.com. Love my Manscaped. It's great. I wish I had it back when I was doing jujitsu, because when you do jujitsu tournaments, you want to shave your legs because it makes it slipperier, hard to get a grip on, stuff like that. And so I would just like use like my old hair trimmer, just do it. And then I would shave. That would be great too, for like full body grooming, not just for your twig and berries, but especially for athletes. Like, remember also in high school, like in football, I'd have to tape my ankles. So I would just like shave my legs so I didn't get hair on them all the time. Great for that because it lasts a long time, right? I would just run through razors constantly because I was just like shaving these big, thick leg hairs because I was an athlete. Wish I had it back then, Soto.
Yeah. And look, Manscaped is known for their, you know, ball trimmers or whatever, but they have a lot of different products, man. Mm-hmm. So go check out the website, see what see anything out and grab. Do you think, you know, they have, you know, the ball toner, the aftershave ball toner? If you're a, if you're steadfast, a straight razor type of guy, body wash, you know, cologne, even foot deodorant, they have all kinds of stuff. So go check them out for all your men's grooming needs. Yeah, check out Manscaped. It's not just the ball trimmers. They have nose hair. If you've got a lot of nose hairs like RJ just picked right now, mm-hmm. you know, just get 20% off and free shipping with the code WINBAGS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code WINBAGS. Unlock the confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
this fucking taunting rule this season. It's like, I can't see any rational reason for it. Like, I think it was the Colts preseason game, and you know, some third string running back, it's like a 10-yard game, runs over a safety, puts down the football, kind of like flexes, says two words, walks away, bam, flag. It's like, one, it's, I don't understand what the appeal is. Like, who are they trying to appeal to with this? And two, I wonder which franchise of the 32 that the refs are going to love to throw the flag against the most. Like, this is like, I'm not Mr. Conspiracy Theory, but that silver and black is going to have like 20 penalties a game.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I want to know if it's going to, is it going to die down when the regular season starts? They've done this in the past when they try to have these points of emphasis. And then wasn't a couple years ago, they started calling holding everywhere in the preseason. But then when the regular season happened, they didn't really do it. And they kind of played itself out. If they stick with this taunting thing, and I know John Mara is up there talking about how they don't, we're sick and tired of this taunting or whatever. Like, does the NFL have a taunting problem? I'm not aware of it. If they have, if we feel like everyone's just getting up and standing over top of people and flexing and punking them, like, I don't think I feel like there's a healthy amount of respect between players that doesn't really happen very often.
Well, it's like, I'm allowed to tackle you to the floor, crush your ribs, give you a concussion, tackle your legs, blow out your knee. But if I say bad, if I call you a poopy face, well, no, that's not allowed. There's no place for that.
Or if you're too excited too. Like, what if you're just a guy makes a play and he's super excited and he happens to be too close to the person he just tackled or whatever, then that's a taunting. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't even, it's not even his direction. I was just excited. Like, this is my
showing emotion,
my life dream. And here I just executed that. I got excited for a split second. All of a sudden you're giving me a penalty like that. I want to see if that happens. It'll be terrible, man, if people lose games because of a call like this late in the game.
Yeah, man. Like, I scored a touchdown my sophomore year in JV football. And it was like, I was half a second away from taking off my pants and helicoptering my dick around. Imagine getting a touchdown, like a game winning touchdown in an NFL game, like the joy going through your body. Like, how do you, like, it's impossible to like hold that in. Like, it's, yeah, it's your dream. You're doing this since you were 8 years old. And now you're doing it in front of fans for millions of dollars with millions of people watching. It's like, all right, better control that. No fun allowed. It's like, God, I don't
emotion,
get it.
Right? Yeah. No emotion. But yeah. If guys were doing what you said, or if they're out there helicoptering their meat around, then yeah, they may, I understand if they would, this would be a point of emphasis, but we haven't seen that yet. Maybe somebody will try.
As soon as the meat is helicoptered, then a rule like this would make sense. Like, that, that's your line, you know?
Let's get John Mara or Goodell to say that. Let's get him to commit to that. Like, if we see it get to that level, then we'll come to this.
Yeah. Well, the rotational meat rule, the RMR.
Like the elbows. Like, what elbows are banned in MMA? It's like the meat, your meat has to go certain,
can't do the 12 to 6.
Exactly. Yeah. You can do the back and forth like in kids, but as soon as it's a rotational 360 degree move, that's just uncalled for. Now you're just taunting. Now you're making fun of somebody.
Figured it out. There we go. Yeah.
I should be on the rules committee.
So you were a vet going into a new team, right? The Raiders have a couple of vets going in on defense. Yannick Ngakoue, and he's just signed Gerald McCoy. What does that bring to the rest of the team when you have a player like yourself and like these guys who've made plays in the league who are coming into a new defense?
Well, hey, both those guys can play, man. They've both made a ton of plays. And Ngakoue, that dude is super, super explosive off the edge. I love watching him. And McCoy, everyone, it kind of seems like he's been making plays for the last 20 years in the league. I know he's not that old. But, yeah, I think like that coming in, like I said about having an Aaron or a Tom Brady, kind of other people fall in line. They don't want to let vets down. I know at least from when I was in the league, like when I'm watching these older guys that I've seen on TV or maybe watched when I was in high school and I'm playing with them, I'm like, man, I just want to make sure I'm accountable to them. Like, I don't want to be the weak link in the 11 guys we have out here on defense. So I think it's huge for that. And when you have guys that are playing the D line too, that can kind of set the tone. And D linemen are always like, usually there's no, like, nothing's black and white. You can't paint everybody with a broad brush, but D linemen are usually the loudest and most fun group when it comes to like position groups. They're at the D line room. It seems to always be like they're next door to us. You always be banging on the walls and they're laughing and they're talking about something, messing with somebody. And they always go out there and seem to have a ton of fun together too. It's just something about D linemen seem to be really tight and have a lot of fun. So I think when you have guys like that that you bring in that are vets, I think it even adds a little bit more to the team. And we know Gruden loves having vets around too. So they can kind of get his message across through them too.
How much does front office turmoil affect what's actually happening on the field? Because the Raiders lost their team president quit, like a bunch of executives quit. There's like internal investigations going on, like a lawsuit. Like, they're being tight-lipped about it, but it feels like there's anarchy in the front office. And that made me worry, like, okay, what's this going to mean for the team? Like, how much is like turmoil in the front office actually affect the on-field product, if at all?
I mean, it usually doesn't affect the players, really. If it affects anybody, I'm sure it affects the head coach the most because he has to deal with them. But players don't really have to deal with front office people too much unless you're trying to negotiate a new contract or they're cutting you. Yeah. So it could definitely affect the players in the play on field if they get like if players don't trust the front office and they feel like, hey, they're moving on from people early, or they're not giving – oh, this, or if they get like a reputation for being cheap and not offering your free agents, like guys that you drafted that you want to re-sign, and all of a sudden you're losing them to other teams because they won't step up to the plate and pay them what they deserve. That could definitely happen. But with people resigning and leaving, I don't know. What is happening out there? Do people not want to live in Vegas?
So four money guys, it started with Bedane, the president. He'd been with the organization for like 30 years, and he just up and quit. No handoff plan, nothing. He just up and quit. And then the next week, his right-hand man, Day, was his name Day?
Yeah.
And two other of his close guys, who all four of them were like basically money guys, quit, just up and quit with no signal, no sign, no nothing. And now there's an investigation. I guess the Raiders are investigating themselves basically on what happened. And I have no one has any, and now we know why no one's saying anything, because, I mean,
none of the B writers, but you can't. Nobody's saying anything.
Are they even speculating?
There's nothing, because no one knows anything. Wow. And it's like, I understand the Raiders are kind of tight-lipped, but that's before stuff happened. Once stuff happened and then like you ask them afterwards, they'll tell you, but no one's saying anything. It's weird.
It has to be a lawsuit of some kind. That's all, because you got a law firm coming in and like, investigating yourself. Right. So it's like, all right, let's get everything documented, get all our ducks in a row for when this thing goes to court or goes to, you know, whatever, they have everything there. It's like, oh, great. Wonderful. That's exactly what we want heading into the season. Anarchy in the front office.
Is Mayock, like Mayock, do they ask Mayock about it? I would imagine.
I imagine he's been asked, but he hasn't said anything.
No,
he hasn't
info.
Come out anywhere.
Yeah, I guess you can't. They can easily just say, it's an ongoing investigation. I can't speak. Right. So we'll find out eventually, just probably not anytime soon.
Yeah. I mean, if you get any friends in that front office that may know anything, AJ, and you want to do some sleuthing, really make a name for yourself as a journalist.
I'll let you know.
AJ, big J journalist, AJ Hawk. That would be great. That would be your breakout role, you know?
Let me see what I can do. Let me go over there. Let me look at their website and see if I know anybody on the staff.
That's
so sweet.
What are you trying to pursue the most? Like, obviously, you've got this fantastic platform with Pat McAfee and all these other things you're doing. Is that, like,
play-by-play, just radio, TV, journalistic stuff, kind of? Like, what are you trying to get into?
I mean, I've bounced around doing everything, all different kinds of, different radio on Sirius, did an MMA show with you for a while. Mm-hmm. But now this thing I'm doing with Pat McAfee's 5 days a week, and that's basically my main thing right now. And we had all kind of plans. Well, we have plans whenever we can get back out there and do different live shows and different things like that. So we have a lot of stuff that we want to do, hopefully here coming up this season and moving on from there. But I was supposed to do some, I should say, I worked as a color analyst for college games over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to do some this year, and I'm actually not going to do them. Mainly, I mean, a big part of it is because my kids are getting older, so they all have games every weekend all the time, and I'd be gone for 14 yep. weekends, and I just don't want to do that. And because luckily enough with my thing I do with Pat, it's an everyday show. It's on 5 days a week. It's plenty for me, and it's fun. I enjoy it. I love it. And we're going to continue to do more. So right now that's like my main thing I want to do, and I don't have to travel. So it's huge for me.
Yeah. Dadding. AJ, you're always dad.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say super coaching. Dad is always the yep. first one.
I'm coaching yeah. football. Yeah, I'm an assistant coach for my son. He's playing tackle football for the first time this year.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm assistant coach. So, like, that – we have 3-4 practices a week. We're going to have games on Sundays. So, yeah, like, that alone is plenty for me.
So, who's the head coach? Like, who's got a better resume to be the coach of this kid's football team? So you have to, like, answer to somebody? Please tell me it's just some, like, overweight dad that only played JV football. Please tell me that.
Our coaching staff, it's funny. He asked me to be an assistant. My son really wanted me to coach because I've never really coached their things because I'm a terrible coach. I'm not good at it. So I've told them that, and they know it. I'm better just to sit and clap and give positive encouragement on the side. But the head coach is my buddy I played with in college. He's a couple years older than me, another linebacker. And so he asked me – he has two kids on the team. So I said, yeah, I'll coach. And then – his dad coached at Ohio State for about 20 years, 25 years, and then left in 2001 right before I got there. And he's been coaching in the league the last 15 years, just got out a couple of years ago. He was he coached outside backers with the Broncos with Von Miller and all. Like, he's coached some studs. He's a great coach. He's our other coach. And then our other Jesus. Coach is actually Steve Belisari, whose son's on the team. And Steve was a quarterback at Ohio State before me.
Yeah, my head coach in high school played high school football.
Guess what? But people say that to us, like, oh man, you guys are gonna be so good. I was like, hey, we're not taking one snap, guys. Like, we're not doing anything. Like,
kids and then AJ Hawk.
Like, we're not doing anything, bud. But they gotta find a way to execute whatever plan we give them. So we'll see how it goes this year.
AJ suits up, but he's holding like a giant lollipop and puts like the helicopter top on the helmet. He's like, no, I'm just a little kid. Just here to play some football. Are you are you like a different person when you're coaching? So it's like you're like your nice dad, AJ, at home, and then you're on the football field with your son. You're like, you fucking maggot, I need you to tackle with your head up.
I don't I don't go to that extreme with him. Okay. I'm pretty calm on the field. I'm super positive guy for some reason. I just have a hard time telling kids they did stuff better. Or if they like, we do like these open field tackling drills, and the kid will like have great effort and miss a tackle. And then if like some coach, someone wants to yell at him, like, man, that's a very difficult tackle this kid is trying to do. Like, let's just not make this such a big deal. And I try to pump him up and help him out. But with my son, yeah, he has gotten, and my 8-year-old, he's like, he's such a good kid and kind-hearted, good dude, and loves football, loves hitting, tries to take every single rep. And like, if he gets so disappointed, if he missed a tackle or he feels like he didn't get the best of a dude, and he like quasi freaks out, so I have to calm him down during practice. Okay, you're fine, man. Like, just, you're fine, who cares, don't worry about it, man. Like, sometimes my presence I think makes him more like, I don't know, he gets anxious or he thinks like I'm gonna be disappointed, which I've told him I'm never disappointed in anything you do. But I'm not hard on him, but I'm way harder on him than every other kid. And that's just kind of, and I've told him that. I'm like, hey man, you know, like, I got to be harder on you. I'm not going to sit here and yell at all these other kids, but I'm not really yelling at you, but I'm going to give you strong coaching because like, it can't look like, hey, I'm just patting you on the butt and saying you're doing great and these other guys are doing terrible.
Yeah, I'm not going to yell at you, but if you play poorly, you don't get dinner. So just so you know, I mean, dinner's for winners.
It's common knowledge in Ohio for sure.
Yeah, what the RJ said last week, we were talking about the good cop, bad cop between Gruden and Bradley. And RJ said, you know, there's the guys out there that say, yeah, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. And Gruden's just like, no, I'm pissed.
Yep. I'm mad and disappointed. I'm all the emotions.
I would love to, man. I think it would be fun. Like, guys that get to play for Gruden, I think it would be fun. I've talked to guys. They enjoy it. They say, especially if you're like a vet too, if you do your job and you're a professional, they're like, he does not. he lets you be a professional. He treats you like a man, like a pro. It's like, man, that'd be, it's, I think it'd be fun to sit there and be like every morning and think, okay, what's this guy got for us today when he comes in the team meeting room?
Yeah. When the Raiders give up that long play, blown coverage, guys wide open, missed a tackle, guy went like 60 yards. Gruden was screaming at every single guy coming off the field. And Bradley's like, that's all right, guys. We'll work on it. We'll work on it. It's just polar opposite.
You need that, right? Don't you need it? You need the guy that's going to build you up because, you know, the head guy might be tearing you down. Then he doesn't do anything behind the coach's back, but he just lets him know, hey, guys, just keep chipping away. We're going to be fine. Don't worry. Anyone's yelling at you. Everyone's freaking out. We're good. Don't worry about it. Stay on your path.
Do you have all your coaching slogans down? You know what I mean? Like, work hard, good stuff happens. Oh, keep, man, chipping away.
So many, all down. So many cliches out there.
And next, you know, play, next play.
What I'm not going to do is say on the hop. You know, coach, come on the hop. For some reason, when I was a kid, that used to just – I would freak out and just start yelling. I would just, as I'm running to my next drill, just freaking out, yelling as loud as I could. Because on the hop, come on now, on the hop. It's just like when coaches don't know what to say. They just have to, like, you have to talk. I'm like, you don't have to talk. Like, good coaches, you know, guys that are secure – they're not always talking, always clapping, always saying something. They coach when they need to coach.
Love it. Well, before we let you go, it has been digging at Soto since you first came on, like 9 months ago when you first came on the show, a question that he asked you. And it's been, and he's been, his face has been red ever since. I think he's got what's called rosacea, whatever it is.
Whatever.
You have some sort of skin disorder because of how embarrassed you were. So he's been wanting to apologize to you for, this is our 41st show. So for like 36 shows, this has been egging on. He brings it up at least once a week.
This is
your chance to finally bury the hatchet and save face in front of AJ.
Okay. Everyone, all the listeners out there, for those of you who haven't seen the episode, go watch it. I asked Mr. Hawk a question that ended up blowing up in my face. So in my defense, I don't have any media background whatsoever. This is like the fifth show we've ever had. The first person I interview is a stud NFL player, like in the media, just everyone knows who he is. I'm like, all right, cool. So I gave RJ all my questions. RJ's like, give me all your questions. Make sure they're, I'll tell you which ones you can ask. Cool. Mm-hmm. One of them was, okay, AJ, you were a stud player in Ohio at Ohio State. You're a stud player in Wisconsin at Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Who had the better chicks? AJ just sits back and he's just like, huh, that's a good question. As soon as he did that, I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. And then he says, oh, well, I was actually married going into my first training camp. And then my heart sunk. Like, all the color came out of my face. I was like, oh, my God. So I want to tell you, Mr. AJ Hawk, I didn't know that you were married going into your first training camp. I wholeheartedly apologize. If I had known, I would have never asked. I would ask, what's your favorite cologne or something? Yeah. I wouldn't have asked anything like that. So your my favorite cologne. Totally different.
That would have been, yeah. What a better podcast it would have been if you would have asked me what my favorite cologne is, right? Hey, don't worry about it, because I didn't think about it afterwards or even throughout the rest of when I talked to you. So I think it's a valid question. You know, you just got to direct it to someone else. Probably that would give you a lot better answer. I didn't have anything for you, but you know what, if you have another player on, I think you should think about it and then ask that question. I think they may give you something very good.
But Soto, you might want to frame it a little better. Be like, hey, what was better, cheating on your girlfriend in college or cheating on your wife in the pros? You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus. I think that's where you wanted to. That's what you wanted to ask, Soto. You got to come right out. You can't.
That's tip-toe the hard around the stuff.
Tulips. Yeah. Always a pro, Mr. AJ Hawk. Check him on the Pat McAfee show. 5 days a week. It's on YouTube, SiriusXM. This is awesome, AJ. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks, AJ. A pleasure.
Hey, thank you guys, and good luck to the Raiders this year. They're going to do great.
Sarcastic
hopefully.
Asshole.
Hopefully. I hope so. Their division's too good, man. Their division's really good. So good. I'm not saying the Raiders are bad. Their division's just so good. When I look around, the Raiders are getting better. So, yeah, we'll see, man. I think you should have some hope.
Dude, I was glad that when you were like, yeah, he's not going to the Broncos. Aaron Rodgers not going to the Broncos. I'm like, thank God. Thank God.
That's the one quarterback that isn't better than ours, and one team that may not, that hopefully can be last.
Fucking loaded, man.
Jeez. It's brutal in the AFC West. Oh, well.
This Let Justin Herbert kid, too, man. God damn.
He's stud. There's so many young quarterbacks that are studs. It's pretty crazy how many good ones there are out there.
Yeah. Fearless kid, man.
Yeah. Jeez. He's a giant, too.
Yeah, fuck him.
You see, like, look, I'm like, look, man, I just hope we play better than the guys. I hope we catch him on Sunday, whatever. Artie's like, no, I want him to break his knee. I want him to, you know, break his back.
I want to get COVID just so I can use chemical warfare and like fly into the facility in LA here in San Diego and just start licking doorknobs and coughing on people. Darn. I'll do whatever it takes, man. I like you, Soto. I'll do whatever it takes.
Jeez, I'm sure you're in line. I'm sure your name's right on the top of the list to get a press pass to the Super Bowl this year, RJ.
Exactly. Right? I still got the outside chance. I'm still like keeping my slim hopes alive.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks, AJ. This was great.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah. Thanks
for coming on.
All right, man. I'll talk to you guys. Thanks.
Yep. Later.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, AJ Hawk. That was fantastic. You finally got that off your chest, Soto. Do you feel better?
Damn.
You sleep better tonight? You're going to sleep like a bear?
Because he said that, the next time we have a player or ex-player or a current player on, I'm gonna do some research. Where did you go to high school? Where did you go to college? Mm. Where have you played the pros? Give me who's got the best snatch in the area. You got to tell me right now.
That should be your opening question. Just get him real like calm and easygoing. You know, let him know you're a regular guy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a regular guy. You know what I like about you, Harry? You're a regular
you're
guy.
You're a regular guy. Well, this week, we touched on it briefly with AJ, but joint practices with the Rams. Literally, as we're recording this on a Wednesday, the Raiders and Rams are doing a joint practice with each other. And I love these because they get starters versus starters. You don't have the full formal environment like you would in a preseason game where it feels okay. Like, you know, you fly, you're in the locker room, you do your warmups. Like you want the younger players to go through those motions to like basically like prep for a real game. You don't have that, but I think more importantly, you have starters versus starters. And so with these next 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, Raiders, Rams, joint practice, what are you looking to see, Soto? Like, what do you want? If we had a camera, like watching the whole thing, what do you want to see? What do you want players to work on? Like, what do you want the team to get out of this?
I want to see that same energy, especially defensively, that we saw in the game. I want it to translate into this pseudo game. It's more of a game than the actual preseason game was. Mm-hmm. So I want to see that. I want to see that guys flying around, guys knowing what they're supposed to do, no mental errors, you know, guys just showing the energy, pumping each other up. That's what I want to see. Now, we saw backups versus back, you know, a couple of starters here and there, guys that are going to play, rotational guys. But I want to see these ones-on-ones. I want to see that same energy, that same commitment mentally to the playbook, to their assignments. I want to see that defensively. Offensively, I want to see the same execution because I think we executed great. Peterman did a great job. I want to see that same execution from Carr, same execution from Mariota. I want to see that same execution from everybody. That's what I want to see. I want to see that continuity building with the line.
That's the biggest thing I want to see is because we're it looks like we're going to be running mostly a zone blocking scheme. Like you need a lot of synergy with the linemen. And we got, you know, again, like we've talked about it multiple times on this show, the exaggeration of how much the Raiders punted on the O-line and like scrapped this wonderful offensive line, have all these new faces. Not really the case. The line was nowhere near as good last season as people make it out to be. And the new faces aren't anywhere near as new this season. It's basically just Leatherwood. Leatherwood's our rookie right tackle, a first round pick, is our only new face really on the starting offensive line. So, but there are people moving around in different spots. And so that continuity in the O-line is what I really want to see. And specifically against like an Aaron Donald, like, all right. You've got a great defensive line. You've got maybe the best defensive player in football. Are you going to test yourselves one-on-one, right? Let's see how Leatherwood does against him. Let's see how Andre James does against him. Or, all right, let's figure out how, as a unit, as an offensive line team, how do we handle an all-star, like three-time defensive player of the year rusher? Like, how do we handle that? It's like, that's what I want to see is like individually, how do they do one-on-one against an all-time great? And then how do you as a O-line unit handle, you know, this giant human wrecking ball that's in your that's in front of you.
Yeah, the line specifically, but the offense in general too. This is one of the best, if not the best, defenses in the league coming into the season. And I want to see if we have the juice. I want to see if we have it offensively to go against a superior offensive team, a defensive team, excuse me,
yeah,
and be able to execute. I want to see that we have it. And it, I mean, it's going to be practice, so we're not going to show a lot of schemes. It's going to be very vanilla, but it does still show you, hey, even vanilla, our guys are good enough to beat your guys.
It's extended fundamentals. It's extended fundamentals, right? That's really what it is.
I want to make sure that
we're in our base 4-3. You're going to do just basic pass plays. All right. Can you handle a zone? Can you do man to man? Like, it's just, yeah, you're not out scheming each other. It's just fundamentally and athletically.
At that point, it's not about the scheme at that point. It's like, my players are good enough to play with anybody in the league. That's what I want to see. I mean, you talk about Aaron Donald. Oh, and it's going to be a big test for Andre James and the guards for that matter too. Sure. But I mean,
the biggest test,
that's yeah. No one better a defensive tackle than Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, PFF, the Pro Football Fuckfaces, that gave are the number 7 and declining fucking Rodney Hudson last year, a 7th grade, gave him a fucking year older, gave him a number 1 center in the league grade.
Yep.
His replacement, Andre James, was PFF's number 1 ranked offensive lineman, not just center, but offensive lineman total in pass blocking.
On the team or in all the
in all NFL, in all preseason, all whole week. So he did really from, I mean, I didn't hear his name, which is always a great thing.
Yep.
If you're an offensive lineman. So to be the highest rated, he was making plays. He was calling plays, making the checks and all that stuff in the line. So yeah. It's encouraging.
Andre James, so we know he plays phenomenal against backups. Now let's see how he does against Aaron Donald, right? Honeymoon period's over. Let's get to the top. Let's see how it happens.
And you know what? Our first game, the Ravens have no slouch of a defensive line out there. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a good test.
Another thing I want to see is I really believe that Carr is going to spread the ball around a lot this season, which is unusual for him because normally he picks his pet favorites, right? Like once he you know trusts you, like Waller's a no-brainer. Renfro in certain situations, but it was Aguilar last season where he's just like, all right, I'm picking Nelson Aguilar. Like you're my guy this season. You're my receiver. Here we go.
Until he started dropping everything.
Until he started dropping again. But again, I also think that's more to do with like, and again, another reason why you should love Derek Carr and not hate him the way you do Soto is like, when was the last time Derek Carr had multiple really good wide receivers he can trust? Like it's been a while. Well, not since like 2016 when you had the Cooper Crabtree, mixture. And even then, like Cooper was a big pass dropper, right? Like, and Crabtree didn't have great hands either. So
like they didn't really start dropping a ton until 17. That's when they really got bad.
Either way, I'm really curious to see who the hierarchy is at wide receiver for Derek Carr, right? Is it always Waller and everyone's a distant, a long distance second, or is it, Waller in these situations, Renfro in these situations, Brown in these situations, Ruggs is, he hasn't developed, but Brian Edwards did. Like, I want to see who Derek Carr trusts, because at the end of the day, like, Gruden can scheme all these plays that he wants. But Carr's got to have trust that when he lets that ball go, the guy on the other end is going to be open and going to catch it. So yeah. We'll see. And we're not going to find that out in the preseason. So hopefully we can find out in joint practices this week.
Yeah. Well, one thing we as fans can gather a lot from the first preseason game was who played and why they played. Mm-hmm. Also, who didn't even have pads on?
Yeah,
people who didn't have pads on, not only are they clear-cut starters, because James and Leatherwood are clear-cut starters, but they were in there playing because they needed the reps. They were younger. But you see Brian Edwards didn't even have pads on.
Yeah,
he is not only the starter, he is the clear-cut starter as our ex.
And a second-year player not getting zero reps in preseason. Like
we've seen this happen before with receivers who come on later in the year, their rookie year, and just explode the second year. And it's possible to happen with the physical tools that Brian Edwards has. The only issue that I see is he excels on those 50-50 balls. And that's not really Derek Carr's forte. He doesn't like throwing those 50-50 balls. Yeah. He likes throwing things on time. He likes making sure that you're open and he'll find the open guy. But I mean, that's not really where Brian Edwards shines. He shines on taking the ball away from people.
Yeah. Ready to do some what up winbacks?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Okay. Kenneth Bryant, Jonathan Abrams, the safety, doesn't deserve to start. He can't cover and takes bad angles and doesn't wrap up consistently. He'd be great on special teams, though. So a first round pick from two seasons ago on special teams.
That's what I said.
Real
down. Well, here's the thing. You don't want a guy on special teams who takes bad angles and doesn't wrap up either.
Yeah.
That's not what you want on special teams. Those are the two things that you need to be able to do like 100% of the time.
Wrapping up and taking good angles is like the two most important things. If you're like
Lord, coverage or kickoff coverage. If you take bad angles, because you know what? I heard, I was listening to Deion Sanders talk about punt returns. And he's like, punt returns, there's always going to be a seam. It's going to be early or it's going to be late, but it's going to close quick. So you, once you see that seam, you got to hit it. You got to find it to hit it. If you got a guy like Abram, you just look at Abram every time. All right, that angle guy here, here we go. That's where I'm going.
I think because he's, and again, it's true, whether good or bad, you never escape where you're drafted. You'll never ever escape that for good or for bad, right? Like Clay Ferrell. He could play really well his entire career, but he'll never be as good as that fourth round overall, or not fourth round, but fourth overall pick that he was. And it'll always hold him down. Jonathan Abram, he literally statistically in multiple categories was the worst safety in football last season. He's still going to start this season. He's going to have given every opportunity to play this season. Now, the good thing is with Carl Joseph there, we can pull him at any time and not miss a beat. It's not like he's replaceable this season, but considering he barely played his first season because of injury, second season, terrible defense, and Paul Gunther kind of poisoning everything that's going on. Benefit of the doubt, I think, is fair this season, but not forever. Definitely not forever.
You get a couple of games from me. If you're pulling the same shit, you get nothing from me. I'm done with you. And I don't want to be. I want him to play well.
Dick Vitale. Woo! Soto. This is where he rips you. Oh, wait, no, complimentary. I can't believe it. Soto, you made a great point. The good coach, bad coach is who they are, and that is why it will work. I remember the last couple of years when the players would pick your job off the floor, Soto. This is amazing. I remember the last couple of years when the players would come off the field to both Gunther and Gruden yelling at the players and both coaches being pricks.
Yeah. Well, AJ said it. You need that guy that's going to kind of not go behind the coach's head coach's back, but be out there in front and be, hey, you know, we got this taken care of. Don't worry. We're going to work on this. Because ultimately, when you fuck up, you should get yelled at. It is just, you know, you should be at least told that this is not acceptable. Yeah. If everyone's coddling you after you fuck up, then there's no, you know, there's no internal consequence, basically.
Look, bad cop can work. You know, it's worked before. It just didn't work last season. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, bad cop doesn't work when one of the bad cops doesn't put in the work.
Yeah.
That's if you see a guy like, well, that's
bad cop, bad cop doesn't work when one of the bad cops comes up with 30 different third down plays every single week. Well,
it's not just
that.
No one can think. AJ was talking about how he would love to have played for Gruden because he's going to treat you like a pro. Mm-hmm. Part of being treated like a pro is, hey, when you fuck up, I'm going to let you know you fucked up and it's not cool.
Yeah.
But when you do well, he's going to tell you, yeah, you did a good job. You had a good job. And here we go. And you hear him all the time. And, you know, you hear him scream, good job, Zay Jones. Good job, Tanner Muse. Like, he'll call you out when you're doing good, but he's not going to give you that, you know, we must only cheer for our guys, you know, type of little league treatment.
Mana Kawahi.
Kaoki.
I'm almost scared that I'm this optimistic about our defense.
Shut up.
No.
Don't say it.
That's one of the best questions we've had in What Up Windbags, because we have 30 years of history saying our defense isn't going to be good. And we'd be optimistic going into it.
Just let it happen. Why are we talking about it?
But we have a lot of reason to be optimistic. And also, but it's also tempered optimism. Like, I'm optimistic that our defense may approach almost average. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. Like, I'm optimistic we're going to be the 20th best defense as opposed to the 30th best defense. Like, that's where my optimism goes.
Okay. Being optimistic.
Yannick Ngakoue, healthy Max Crosby, ton of depth in DB.
The only time Seattle, who had players playing who were going to play on Sundays. Mm-hmm. The only time, not at the starters, but they had guys that are going to play. They moved the ball was on a blown coverage. they did really nothing else. They were playing in their own. They were playing in their own half the entire game, and the Raiders pretty much shut them down. And if not for that one play, the Seattle wouldn't have scored the entire game. It would have been a shutout.
Yeah.
So to say that they could be a average as far as like a 15, I'm optimistic that that can happen. I said it before. I'm looking for them to be in the high teens, optimistic, like 17, 18 around there. Mm-hmm. But damn, dude, that's why the first thing I said when you asked what I'm looking for in these joint practices is I want that defense to play the same type of speed and to have the same type of commitment to their assignments, because they looked really good, man. I hate saying it. I don't want to talk about, I'm the guy that don't talk about the traffic while you're driving, because you know you're gonna hit that freaking, you know, that roadblock or whatever. It's,
hey, pitcher, do you know you're 8 innings into a no hitter?
I hate this. This has happened to me so often, man. It's happened to me so often. I became a Raider fan when I was like 6 years old, and it's like I was only being proud and like puffing my chest out to other people, because I'm always proud to be a Raider fan, but I couldn't puff my chest out to people when we're getting our ass beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I only able to do that a couple times, and now it's like, okay, it looks good. Like, I just don't want to talk about it. It just,
You host a Raiders podcast, so you're gonna have to.
I'm gonna try to not
have to bury those emotions deep down and do it correctly.
Well, what is a fair but optimistic view of the defense next season, and what is a fair but pessimistic view of the defense? Real quick, like, is an average defense capable?
Yes, an average defense is average defense is capable.
Possible, capable.
Now, here's the thing:
could we be worse this season than last season on defense? Is that possible?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that not only have we gotten better personnel wise, but we've gotten better scheme wise as well. Yeah. And better coached. So I don't think we're going to be worse. I think the worst we can do, and being realistic about this, is like the low ish 20s around there. I think we're going to get better no matter what, I feel.
Yeah.
Now, optimistically, as far as the high end, I think we could be in the high teens, depending on how things break our way turnover-wise. But I think, because that's
almost a separate category, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like points per game. Like.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like if you're just getting lucky with, because a lot of it is luck, but if you're just that team that can just happened to force a lot of turnovers or jump a lot of balls that maybe last year, the fumbles, the
bounce your way, recovered. Don't bounce right, your yeah. way. Those make such a big difference.
Because the thing is one possession can, if you're up, let's say 10 points and a team's driving on you and you get a turnover and you score again, you're up 17 and that changes the offensive game plan. So if they would have scored, maybe it would have been a closer game, 3 points. The game plan wouldn't have changed that much. So those, and when you get the turnover at the right time, it changes the mood of the entire game. So if we get a couple of those here and there and end up beating a team when they only score 17 points, as opposed to them scoring 24, 27 points, that makes a big difference. When you get a couple of those, if you're 15 or 18 or you're 12, 13, a couple of those games can really make a big difference.
Yeah. We were clearly terrible on defense last season, but also unlucky. There's certain parts of turnovers is pure. Some of it's skill and scheme, and some of it's pure luck. Like I read this great stat, these great stats on like forcing fumbles is a skill. Recovering fumbles is basically all luck. Like it's just like no team does it consistently. Some seasons they're just great at it. Some seasons they're terrible, and it's just odds. It's just luck. Right?
There are things you can do like
And those didn't go our way last season.
Yeah.
Same thing with like we weren't terrible in pressuring the quarterback last season. We were just awful at sacks. That's the difference between a quarter of a second, right? Yeah. Getting a good pressure becoming a sack. So it's like, again, we were bad, no excuses, but if we just kind of regress to the mean and be just average in recoveries, in sacks, like pressures turning into sacks, that'll be a giant step up. So I think optimism is, I think tempered optimism is due. for the defense?
Yeah, there's a couple things you could do. So, like, as far as the fumbles go, if you have a defense that's a swarming defense, that's always around the ball, you always have multiple guys around the ball, the more numbers you have, the higher chance of you to recover the fumble. As far as getting home when you give pressure, if you don't have these blown coverages, if you have guys who know what they're doing and not sagging back extra because they're not exactly sure what they're supposed to do, and you have a little bit tighter coverage, yeah, you're going to have a little bit extra time. And that little bit extra time, like you said, is all that's needed to be able to get home.
Yeah.
Well, we're home now because we're about ready to wrap up. We'll do another post game for the Saturday's Rams Raiders preseason game. Mm-hmm. So doubling up, we're at the point where we double up every week now. A lot of autumn windbags in your face. And until then, knock on wood if you're with me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Autumn Windbags. Really appreciate it. Big thank you to AJ Hawk for joining us as well. Also, make sure to go to manscaped.com using promo code WINBAGS for 20% off and free shipping worldwide. And, of course, check us out on our YouTube channel as well. A lot of extra content there, and you get to see our faces, which is always fun. Till next time. Later.